That's not the intent of the game. That's not the purpose of going back for these reviews. It's stupid. I just feel like if we're going to be this literal with it, we might as well just stop doing it.
Stop playing basketball? Is that your...
Maybe.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry Rice with the shoes on.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bounty kids?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is January 17th, 2016, and this is episode 153, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're covering games against Houston, Phoenix, Boston, and the Wizards. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Full crew, back in action. Looking forward to... talking about the Pacers, it's a cold and snowy day in D.C., which reflects accurately my feelings about the Pacers right now. So, it's very apt.
With me in Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Yeah, Joey and I are in the same room together, so I don't know. Look out for the tickle fights.
Why is that what came to your head?
And we're going to make this a video pod, so it's going to be great.
And coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What is going on, boys? It is good to be back.
Welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, welcome back.
Shout out to the family. Had a great Christmas and New Year's and all that good stuff. But yeah, great to be back. There's a cold and rainy day here. I don't know what that symbolizes for my Pacers fans. There's probably a Wuthering Heights joke about Moore's in here somewhere, but we'll leave that for our literary pod.
The Underreadables?
The Underreadables. Cool.
Write that down.
Movies is the new reading, Joey. shout out to the enforcer. I believe he had a birthday while he was away enforcing for things.
Yeah, I did not solve anything, by the way.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Everything is still crappy out there. But thank you for that.
And congratulations on your title of North American Tickle Fight Champion.
Finally. All of that training paid off.
And kudos to you for sending bags of dildos to those people in Oregon. That was a clever move by the enforcer.
Somebody had to do it.
So before we get into the show, you guys, I don't know if you saw this, but the 76ers beat the Blazers 114-89. Have they turned the corner? Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you go 1-30 over the first 31 games, and then you go 4-7. You turned a corner. Now, the corner that they turned is still in, you know, the worst part of the NBA neighborhood, if you will. They're still drinking lead contaminated water like the good people of Flint, Michigan. But they're moving on up. They got Brita filters now, so it's a little bit better.
This really made me nervous, this victory by the Sixers, because I'm still waiting for that that loss that we're going to take to the Sixers sometime in late March that's going to make us lose a playoff spot. That's coming, and now that they're getting better, it's just guaranteed now. So screw you, Sixers.
They're just trying to make it look respectable for like a week so that, you know, to lend some credence to that ridiculous shakeup that the NBA forced upon them.
That's a good point. Let's play hard for a minute.
Yep. They'll be crappy again next week. They turned a corner. Now they're lost. They're wandering around. Not sure where to go.
Knocking on random doors. One behind one of which there's a serial killer that will take them out.
Oh, yeah, go ahead whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
We got some basketball to talk about. First game. We do.
Okay.
That is your job.
Okay.
Get to work. First game, Jason, you and I were there in Houston. We recorded our last show right before we left for this game. Pacers take on the Rockets, and they lose this one in overtime, 103-107. You know, you guys might want to talk about the basketball, the meltdown in the fourth quarter. I want to talk about the baby race. This is probably the best baby race that I've seen in the history of baby races.
Wow. Did you record it? Can we find it on YouTube?
I think, Jason, you got a picture or a video of that. But I was really impressed. Jason tweeted during the baby race, and the winner, the dad of the winning baby, found the tweet, and we got to say congratulations, which was pretty great. The race itself was a pretty amazing. One baby was just beeline for the finish line and stopped about an inch short and just stayed right there. The second baby, other babies are just wandering around.
Sure, that's the best part about baby races.
One baby was going like perpendicular to the track. But then they picked the baby up, put it back down, and ended up winning the race.
Really?
Yeah.
So the baby that got out in the lead just stopped.
Just stopped. I think froze up under pressure.
Sure.
And it was way shorter than the ones they do in Indy.
Okay.
They said everything bigger is bigger in Texas, but the baby races are not.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I remember from the game.
Well, that was definitely the highlight.
Yeah. Worth the price of admission still.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm glad to see baby races coming back to the glory that they deserve, right? I mean, there's been controversy in the baby race community for a few weeks now, and, you know, things like this really validate the exploitation of babies for our entertainment.
For most of this game, I was enjoying it. So, I mean, you guys were there, but there's a pretty good energy in that crowd. They were getting loud.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seemed like a fun place to watch a game, and the Pacers were winning, and it all kind of fell apart there at the end. Does anybody know what happened?
Well, I mean, the Rockets hit a bunch of three-pointers. I think they hit 7 in the fourth quarter in overtime, and the Pacers just couldn't execute or get stops enough down the stretch, and you know, that comes back to bite you, especially when you're playing good teams in their building, you know. I mean, the Pacers in this game had a 12-point lead with 5.5 minutes left. And that is a game that you close out if you're playing good basketball and want to be a good team that goes to the playoffs. But the Pacers, as we've seen, which will become is becoming a disturbing trend, have a habit of blowing these games in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know that this wasn't the whole game. I know there's a ton of reasons why this thing fell apart, but I need to talk real briefly about the out of bounds, the Monta Ellis getting the ball knocked out of bounds, and they reviewed it in the final 2 minutes, and so they review it, and Where is it? Somewhere in New York or
Secaucus, New Jersey.
Secaucus, New Jersey. And
New Jersey is a suburb of New York.
Right. Okay. And they look at it and they go, okay, James Harden knocked the ball out of Monte Ellis' hands, but Monte Ellis was the last to touch it. Okay.
Yes.
Right. So my fundamental issue with this is that that's the case in every situation where you knock the ball out of somebody's hands in the history of basketball. So if they want to start going back and looking at these things, then because the idea of the I knocked the ball out of your hands thing is it should go back to me. I didn't knock it off you. I knocked it out of your hands, right? So now I get the ball back. But if my finger happens to be the last thing touching it because you tapped it out of my hand, then it goes to you. That doesn't make any sense. If they're going to be that literal about the out of bounds stuff, they might as well go back and they might as well change basketball, because historically, every time you touched a basketball and it went off somebody's fingertip, they gave it, you know, to the guy who knocked it out of their hands. No, we would have a whole different league. The Bulls probably never would have been good. Like, there probably wouldn't have been, you know, I don't know. Houston probably would never want to run rings. I mean, everything would be topsy-turvy. This is stupid, and it should not be this literal, and I'm very upset about it. If we'd had the ball from that, we would have won this game, but instead we have to go to Secaucus and screw basically the fundamental basis of what basketball means. So you know, there's that.
So do you want them to go, like, more emotional, figurative on who touched
it
last?
That's exactly what I want. Yeah. So, I mean, okay, look, if you're in a scrum, you got to look for whose leg it fell off of. That's fine. Whatever, bounced off of. If somebody bounces it off of you intentionally, that makes sense. But if I tap it out of your hand, clearly my, you know, my pinky or my fingernail or whatever is going to be something that brushes that basketball last. That's not the intent of the game. That's not the purpose of going back for these reviews. It's stupid. I just feel like if we're going to be this literal with it, we might as well just stop doing it.
Stop playing basketball? Is that your...
Maybe.
So this week I'm drinking a Bell's Special Double Cream Stout, which is excellent. Sorry, Harper, I didn't get this to piss you off. I just am getting more into stouts, and it's tasty to my palate. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Actually, I had one. I'm not super into stouts either, but I had one when I was in Baltimore. I can buy Bell's in Baltimore, but not in Oregon. It is a travesty. Mm-hmm. And I won't go on a rant since we just had one, but the subject is ripe for it. It's early here. It's like noon. Well, I guess it's noon. I probably should go get a beer, but currently just a Coke and a smile over here.
This week I'm drinking, what am I, is this Macallan?
Macallan, yeah.
Macallan 12?
Yeah.
Damn, you guys are doing it right this week.
Yeah, right?
It's January 17th, you got to do it right.
I woke up a little later than Joey, so I'm having a mimosa.
That makes sense.
Sort of a breakfast, you know, drink.
Mm-hmm. Breakfast buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and champagne is good for me.
To get back to your rant, Colson, I'm glad you brought this up because I had kind of forgotten that. And I had thought that the league might issue an apology. That was my theory, because that's what they always do when the Pacers lose in overtime.
it's not even somebody doing it now. It's just an automatic response.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They see that the Pacers lost in overtime, and they're like, somebody must have messed up.
Some automated email.
That's on our end. Yeah. And so, but I never saw the replay, and in the building they didn't show the replay at all, so we didn't have any idea. But
it gets knocked out. Harden knocks it out of Montellus's hand. The ref says clearly it's still Pacer ball.
Yep.
But it's within the last 2 minutes. They all got to go over to the freaking watch the screen. It clearly goes to New Jersey or whatever, and you can see the refs arguing, and he's being like, "Look, it's off his finger last," and you know, and they're all kind of like, whoa, and eventually they all nod their heads and they come back and they make the wrong decision. I understand that it was off Ellis's finger last, but my point is, if you do that, if you open this Pandora's box, like, everything changes. You just got to say, hey, look, the ref made the right call. It got knocked out of bounds. Let's play the game. We win this one, and we all go home, and you don't have to listen to me ranting about this shit. So, come on, fix it, NBA. Fix it.
Yeah, I mean, weirdly, I think they have fixed it, right? Because the idea is that they go to video replay and they make the quote unquote right call. But I agree with you that, like, so if that play happens earlier in the game, there's no way that it goes to replay. And they're just like, oh, yeah, no, Harden knocked it out. It's the Pacers' ball. Or oftentimes they do where, like, guys are going after a rebound, and one guy, like, jumps over the back of another guy and knocks it out, or knocks his arm to make it go out of bounds off of that guy. But they won't give the other team the ball. They just don't call a foul on that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's right. The benefit that you get in that situation. So it does seem strange that there are different – that the rules are applied differently in the last 2 minutes than they are the rest of the game, which seems like that's the point of the game that you should, you know, apply the rules most logically, right?
Well, I think the argument that this is like every out of bounds play is like this, I think that's false. I think most of the time the person who touches the ball last is the person who's swiping it, not the person who's dribbling it. I think that that's the exception, not the rule.
What's the percentage? Like 10%, 15%? The guy still got it in his hand when it gets swiped out, and it sort of braises, you know, brushes his fingers on the way out of bounds.
Everything isn't braised, John.
But everything, you know, brushed. I mean, what I'm saying is, if it just happens to be that 10%, does that make it right? I feel like it gets knocked out of bounds.
I don't know how you want to rewrite this rule. The rule says that the last person to touch it turns over the ball. How do you want to rewrite that rule such that this situation is righted?
You want to bring in intent? I mean, maybe. Like, I just don't know if you have to go back. I think the reason to having replay when it's a scrum, you know, and you don't know where it goes.
Well, so that's the thing that you can say, right, is that the referee called it clearly Pacers ball. And then the Rockets, like, start going, you know, doing the circle with their finger thing and be like, no, go look at it. Go look at it or whatever. And then the referees are like, oh, yeah, let's go look at it, blah, blah, blah. When there was really no, you know, the referee was right there. He saw Harden knock it out, and he was like, yep, that's Pacers ball. Mm-hmm. Like, so if the referees had more discretion on whether or not they went to replay, maybe that was the thing. And I don't know exactly what the rules are for that, right? Is it every time a team is like, no, look at it again?
Every time they order another round?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I meant wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go home. Both bring me the bill and bring me another round. It's a confusing.
It's potential. Harden needed to get home, and traffic in Houston is terrible. So,
so basically, the ref misinterpreted it.
Yeah.
Reviewed the play.
Right.
Yeah.
But this was we're glossing over the fact that the Pacers did not execute at all down the stretch. And this is a huge problem for this team and has me pressing lots of panic buttons right now in my life. Because the NBA is a game where, you know, the cliche is nothing happens until the fourth quarter. Nothing matters in the NBA until the fourth quarter. And really nothing matters until the last 5 minutes. And right now we are a bad basketball team in the last 5 minutes of games. Yeah. And that's not a good sign.
But I guess the question, though, becomes, why is that? Are we tired because we're not used to the pace? Are we choking because we're not used to the pressure? Are we just a crappy road team? Is that our identity? Like, what is the reason why we can't close these things out? I mean, I don't think the Rockets are really good enough to hold us to 16 points in the fourth. They're not that good of a defensive team.
I have a ton of theories on this, but I don't know that now's the time, because we're going to talk about four more or three more meltdowns this
season. Yeah, let's save this discussion for the Thursday show.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I'm sure that Coulson has about four or five more rants in him.
So. Well, we'll get a new Coulson theory for every game
that all contradict
each other. So.
So my theory in this game is that we just, we got a couple bad breaks with the calls, and they got hot from the 3-point line, and we got scrambled on defense, and we couldn't score efficiently down the stretch. I mean, this is kind of a breakdown of pressure, but at the same time, it was just kind of a bad break. It sucked. It's a tough loss, but this one didn't disturb me that much.
I didn't realize you had four theories for each game.
That's each game, yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, then we should move on to the next game. And I think this was similar to the last game. Indiana takes January 12th. Indiana wins 116-97 over Phoenix. And really, they only put in 36 points in the fourth quarter. Really unable to score 40 or more in a quarter. I thought that was sure. Kind of a problem.
Sure, soft of them.
But they take down Phoenix. You know, I think Phoenix is they're having a tough year. They've got nothing. I don't know. Tyson Chandler is a shell of what he was, and I'm a big Tyson Chandler fan. But they just did not look good this game, and still it was close until fourth quarter. Pacers took over and sealed the deal on this one.
Well, I mean, what they have is two very good point guards for their system, right? And Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight. And when neither of those guys go, you're probably right. They're just a pretty bad team.
Yeah, they're also in turmoil, right? I mean, you know, which one of the Morris's twins is totally sabotaged their team because he doesn't want to be there? He actually played well in this game, though. I was surprised. I know that they'd benched him for a while because he was being such a problem. But he's an effective player.
Markeith
is the guy who's still there. Teletovic.
No, that's not how you say his name.
Teletovic. Played fantastic. I was like, who's this kid? I want him on my squad. They're just a bad team. And they're mentally and emotionally broken, and they're not going to recover. I don't think they win 20 games this year.
Yeah, this game was weird to me because clearly the Suns are not good, especially when they don't. Bledsoe's out for the season now, right? And
yeah, he's
Brandon done. Knight was out with food poisoning for this game, so if they don't have either of those guys, they're a really bad team. And the Pacers won this game by 19 or something, some ridiculous number, but it was a much harder struggle than that final score would indicate. Like the Pacers would constantly get up 10-12. But couldn't quite push it to the 15-20 mark to really, you know, put their foot on the throats of this team. And Phoenix would slowly crawl their way back in. And I think that ended up causing, you know, it was great. We did have an excellent fourth quarter. Joey, Paul George, I thought, you know, exerted his will. It was good to see CJ Miles actually hit some jump shots again. That was nice. In general, the team shot better from three-point range. But still, there were concerning things to me that we kept letting this team crawl back into the game. I don't know what that is. I mean, Rodney Stuckey went down in this game with a foot injury, and he's going to be out for a while. So I don't know if that discombobulated the bench.
Well, the bench certainly
rotations didn't, and stuff, but because they struggled.
Didn't play well. The starters played great, plus CJ Miles, right? But
yep,
everybody else was not so good.
I think of note, Jan Mahimny, 2 assists. No, I think he's been playing well. He was a plus 14 for the day, 10 points, 9 boards.
5 boards?
Yeah, I have 5 on my sheet.
Oh, this one does say 5. It's like reading is hard.
Yeah.
It's overrated.
Numbers are not your strength. Mr. Stats. Whatever. This was a good win. I thought that, what would have been great is if we get up 20 early on and then just sit everybody in the fourth quarter, because this was the first night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, agreed.
And I think we're going to talk about the Boston game next, and I think that came back to haunt us.
Well, you know, you're right, Jason. We just couldn't put them away. I mean, you know, like I said, Morris and Teletovic both had fantastic games. And every time, you know, they would just hit a couple threes in a row, and they'd be back right there with us. But
we did put them away, though.
We did. It was just...
We won by, like, 19 points.
Look, it's a fine win, but I think Jason said a fantastic win. I'm not saying that. Phoenix is terrible. It was a win. I'll take a win. It was fantastic because it was in a bad week, but it's not a fantastic win. Everybody should beat Phoenix.
Who's going to be seats?
I don't think I ever called it a fantastic win.
All right, let's listen to the tape.
enough with this Suns. We talked about the Suns way too much on this podcast.
Secretly a Suns podcast.
Wednesday, January 13th, Pacers take on the Boston Celtics in TD Garden on the road. And they lose this one 103-94. This was probably the most frustrating end to a game that I can remember. Mm-hmm. Four possessions in a row, the ball is stolen for a bucket. I don't know. I'm done. I'm done with this.
Well, it's not as bad as the Larry Johnson 4-point play. So,
right.
So it's, if you remember that, it's not the worst ending ever. But this was pretty bad. I guess the silver lining is the Pacers really had no business even having an opportunity to win this game. I mean, they were down 10 basically the whole game and then kind of clawed their way back in and had a lead. Did have a lead, though, down the stretch and had, what was it, four turnovers in the last 2.5 minutes, get out, scored 12 to nothing down the stretch to lose this game. Just brutal. Just horrible, horrible execution. Lazy passes leading to live turnover steals and, you know, waltz it down the floor, uncontested layups. Just a horrific loss. Like, the way that they executed down the stretch.
Yeah, that's, I mean, all my notes are lazy passing, transition D is terrible, we're sloppy with the ball, Isaiah Thomas is eating us alive. Yeah, I mean, it was just bad. And you're right, there's no reason we should have been in this game, but once you get up that much down the stretch, all you got to do is, you know, burn out the clock. Just dribble out the clock and don't make stupid, lazy passes. Pass with intent. You know, or don't pass at all and get fouled. Like, there's just a ton of ways to win this game, and we couldn't do any of them.
Did you see the end of this game, Harper?
Nope, I did not see this game.
Okay, that's good, because as the enforcer, you would have enforced some things.
I don't understand how this team is 500. I mean, I still don't. Brad Stevens is, you know, he's like Coach MacGyver, right? I mean, he's putting this together with peanut butter and duct tape, right? And these guys are playing hard. I mean, Jake Crowder's what? Is he an all-star this season with the way that he's playing? This is not that good of a team. And yet they're over 500 and they play everybody tough. They stole another game this week against the Wizards, right?
Yep. Yeah, I was in the building for that. They absolutely stole that game. I mean, Isaiah Thomas gave us huge problems.
He's
good. I think they showed a stat during the game that he's one of like four dudes under 5'10" in NBA history to average more than 24 points a game or whatever he's averaging.
Off the bench, right?
No, he's starting.
Because he's their best player.
Yeah, he's clearly their best player.
He's clearly their best player.
I was really impressed with Jay Crowder and Amir Johnson as well, but I thought Jay Crowder had a great game. I thought he defended Paul George really well, and he was making back baskets too.
Hmm.
And 25 points he ended that game with. And I like his hair.
It is nice. I mean, we got murdered. Oh, no, not this game. Never mind. Sorry. I was going to say we got murdered on the glass, but we actually kept it pretty even on the glass.
Yeah, no, that's the next.
But Amir Johnson grabbed 18 boards in this game. Yeah. So that's kind of infuriating.
That much.
Yeah. I don't know what else to take away from this game other than can we not wear the Hickory uniforms anymore? Because we seem to not win when we wear the Hickories this year.
I thought we were doing well early in the season wearing those, but it's
we started off well.
Yeah. I think we've lost the last three or four times we've worn them, though.
So. Well, we're losing more often than we were at the beginning of the season, aren't we?
Yep.
I feel like we've been sitting five games over 500 for a long time.
Yeah. Playing a little 500 ball for a while. It doesn't get better, Joey.
You sure about that?
I mean, not the next game.
Oh, no, that was no good either. Friday, January 15th, Pacers take on the Washington Wizards at home. They lose this one 118-104. and they were basically down 10 to 15 points the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
I was unamused, for sure. Unimpressed. Unhappy. A lot of things that started with the word, or the phrase un.
Yeah. Were you undebeatable?
I was, actually. It was good. No, I actually missed. I was not unable to go to the game. I was unable to go to the game. We had a work function. My holiday party was a very good time. It was a wonderful evening. But I was not at the game.
It's good that you missed this one, Joe.
I know. That's what it sounds like.
I don't watch it if you haven't seen it already. This is painful.
Underwatchable, you say?
It might be underwatchable. Jason, I don't know how you felt about this one. I'm assuming you got this on your local feed, right? So you got your local announcers on this one?
Well, no. So I don't have cable.
Oh, okay, right.
I had to watch it delayed, but this was just a straight up ass whooping.
Yeah.
I mean, Washington is a good basketball team right now.
That's the question. That's what I wanted to ask you. Is Washington just this good? Because their record shows that they're terrible. They've lost to bad teams, but over the last three or four games, they beat Chicago at Chicago. They've started to put together some wins that look legitimate. This team looked really good.
Well, they got
looked really bad, but the Wizards look good.
Yeah. I mean, Harper points out that they are finally getting healthy in the sense Bradley Beal is finally back. John Wall, I think, is finally healthy. I think he was really struggling earlier in the year due to some nagging injuries, and he looks like a completely different player than when the Pacers played this team, in November. I mean, he's got that speed back and that spark back, and the Pacers basically couldn't do anything to contain him. I mean, it seemed like every possession after a make or a miss by the Pacers, you blink your eyes and John Wall's in the in the lane defensively creating havoc, right? Like, and they're playing faster than they used to. I mean, they were without Gortat in this game, which I think actually helps them because they play a bit faster and they have good shooters that can then can capitalize on the open looks that Wall creates. I mean, I think they're a good basketball. They're better than their record shows right now. I mean, and they played Boston last night and lost a heartbreaker, but played quite well in that game too, I thought.
Well, I mean, this game was also our fault. I mean, I agree that Washington, I mean, if you're going to tell me Washington is good and they're getting healthy, then I'll believe you. But this was also lazy passing again, just turnovers, terrible transition D, and I understand that Wall is really fast and can get down there, but we didn't have anybody to jump in front of him. We were a step slow on defense. They pass really well, but we were constantly chasing the ball instead of being ready for the pass, and they were getting wide open looks for threes. We got destroyed on the boards. I mean, these are effort things, and we didn't show it. And I don't know if we got bummed out because of our road trip, we should have been 4-0 and we ended up being 2-2, and now we're just licking our wounds or something, but like, this looked like an effort loss to me as well as a maybe the Wizards are just better than us. This was really disheartening.
I absolutely agree. I mean, and if this was a hangover from the collapse in Boston or the recent collapses that we've had in the last 5 minutes of games, that's not exactly the response you want from your team. Like if you're pissed off because you lost a game, you don't come out and play lackadaisical for the first, 3 minutes, fall down, whatever it was, 12 to nothing, and force an early timeout from Frank Vogel. Like, yeah, not a good effort on either end of the floor, I thought.
I thought George Hill played well. Really kind of one of the only standouts. Jordan Hill played pretty well as well. But outside of that, we just all kind of brought very little.
What was our game plan here? Were we trying to play them small ball? Because Jordan Hill only played 8 minutes, right? Lavoie got the bulk of the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Lavoie was playing well. Did Jordan Hill play better in the Boston game? Maybe I'm missing that.
I think you're switching this. He had 1 point this game.
Yeah. Lavoie played well in this game. That's why I like it. That's why I like this game, because my two favorite Pacers played well, and we lost by 15 or whatever it was. So maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about.
You know, Stuckey's been out. Chase Budinger's back in the lineup.
He's the only one that passes with intention. He's the only one that seems to know what to do with the ball. Like, this sort of bullshit, you know, lob passes to each other that get stolen constantly. Like, he has crisp passing. I appreciate that from him. Jan Mahimny, too, is a pretty good passer. I mean, he's not a good passer, but he passes quickly. It's chest passes. I just feel like the rest of them are just kind of flipping it up there and letting it get stolen.
It's, yeah. I mean, yeah. He had no assist this game. They didn't have a chance. If he doesn't get an assist, I don't know.
Well, and this was the game I was talking about that we got murdered on the glass. So Washington outboarded us 54-35, which is an insane margin.
Yep.
And they had 17 offensive rebounds. So to get back to your question, Harper, yes, we tried to play small ball with them because they started a small lineup as well with Dudley at the power forward position, but they were just so much more active than us that they, even if they get down and we play decent defense and force a miss, they were getting lots of second chances. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end of the ball, we couldn't, you know, to Colson's point, we weren't moving the ball well. We ended up with a lot of contested long jump shots. We shoot, you know, a paltry 17% from 3-point range in this game. You know, if we do that, we're not going to win ball games. Like, we're so dependent on our 3-point shooting to lead us to success, because we don't have any other go-to scorer necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, Paul George is not, lately at least, hasn't been a guy that you just give the ball to and let him create points. And we've been shooting the three ball horribly for like a month and a half now, basically. Yeah. So, and hence we're a 500 ball team.
Can't play marginal defense, right?
Right.
For sure.
And that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to go in and be slow and not hit three pointers and you know, turn the ball over, you got to play some hellacious defense. And we just weren't doing that. So,
is hellacious defense good or bad?
I think it's good.
It's good? Mm.
Pretty sure it's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Depends on the context.
In this case, I meant good.
Well, then what was the stat? I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Chris Denari brought up this stat on the broadcast that in wins, the Pacers hold teams to like 90 points or something like that. But in losses, they hold teams to 110 or something like that. 109.
Wild variance.
It's this massive variance, and it's the widest disparity in the NBA between points allowed in wins versus losses, I think. And that seems to be absolutely the case, right? Mm-hmm. If we hold teams under 100 points or under 95 points, we have a chance to win. But if we don't, it's almost like we have no chance to win, you know?
I mean, it is nice that you've got such a clear-cut stat that you can wrap your mind around. If you're a coach, mm-hmm. you love mm-hmm. to have stats like that because you have – I mean, it's not a causal link, but it's close, right?
Right, right.
This is the recipe for our success. This is what we have to do to get better.
Yep. And right now we're not doing – I mean, the level of effort defensively, I think, from game to game is not consistent mm-hmm. right now. And I don't know. I mean, maybe this was a game where, you know, we're finally worn out from that road trip. I mean, it's been a lot of games in a short amount of time over the last 2 weeks. And maybe just there's a cumulative effect on sort of energy levels at that point. But it's disappointing because we're in the midst of this nine road games in 11 stretch. And so starting tonight, we go right back out on the road for a ridiculously rough stretch, basically. So it would have been nice to win a home game, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You guys are bringing me down. But I want what do we learn from this? I think here's some good things. Today is January 17th. It's January. We're not even – we'll be halfway to done with the season tonight. So this is not April. It's not May, which is good. We're not playing this poorly then.
Okay.
That's good. That's something. That makes me feel better.
We're doing pretty well. Well, I'd say next show we should talk a little bit more about this. But what other good things do we have about this recent stretch here? What did we learn from this?
Oh, what did we learn? I think assists are a big part of it. Sharing the basketball is a way that we, you know, you're right. Paul George isn't a guy that can just take over right now. And we've got to move the basketball and share it. Maybe I need Pacer Nation to do this for me because I ran out of time. But I think we had a ridiculous amount of assists in one of the games last week, and I was thinking, I wonder what the number is that we have in wins versus we have in losses. And we're not even, you know, hitting 20 assists in these losses this week. So, you know, I think sharing the basketball is a big part of us winning, and we're not doing that very well. So move the ball with intent.
Assist to turnover ratio, is that your new predictor?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one's tough because it's kind of tied into how well you're shooting as well, right? If you're not making shots, you're going to have less assists just by the nature of things. But, sure. But yeah. So let's, looking forward, right? This week we have another four games. Mm. This is a tough week, guys. It's all on the road. Mm. Sunday, January 17th. So after we're recording this, but before you will have listened to it, the Pacers play at Denver.
Who just knocked off the Warriors.
Yeah, who just beat the Warriors. And Harper, what were you saying? The Pacers are going to be missing Stuckey, obviously, but then also George Hill and Jordan Hill? And Mahimi?
I think.
Oh, man.
I lost that screen.
Okay, no worries. We're going to be massively shorthanded, so this is going to be a tough game. I mean,
hey, Miles Turner gets a ton of minutes, and it's his breakout game, and we go on to win the championship.
He's been playing well.
No, I know, but he goes from playing well to being an all-star tonight. That's what happens.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's just to be clear, George Hill, Jan Mahinmi, and Stuck.
Okay.
George Hill listed his personal reasons, so I don't know what's going on with him.
Hmm.
And Paul George also missed practice yesterday.
Hmm.
So.
So it's all falling apart.
Yeah, it's the dog days, right? I mean,
oh no,
guys are starting to get beat up, and it's just that time of the year.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got that game Sunday at Denver. Then we go Tuesday at Phoenix. We get to play that team again. So hopefully, we can pick up a nice, easy win there.
That's
the team
is a
shambles. And you're right, that is a must because we have a back-to-back Friday and Saturday. Easy game Friday, I think, at Golden State. Oh. They've only won all of their games.
I mean, they're on the ropes, though. They've lost two in less than a month. So
Sure. Maybe we hand them their first home loss. That would be nice.
Right,
sure. In like a year.
Yeah. And then Saturday night, make the drive over to on I-80 there to Sacramento and play the Kings in their arena. We owe them a win. They beat us in brutal fashion back in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. So, but tough week, man. We got to try to go at least 500 on this road trip.
Can we go 2-2?
Hopefully.
All right.
I mean, if you look at it, right, like, yeah, I mean, I guess we're shorthanded against Denver, so that makes it tougher. But Denver's not exactly a great team, you know, so they're beatable. Phoenix is beatable, and Sacramento is beatable, you know?
Yeah.
I mean.
We need 3-1. We need 3-1.
I like it.
I really hope that's true. I just don't know if we're playing well enough, Harper.
Well, you just play better.
Okay.
Right. We weren't playing well enough last game. We will be playing well enough tonight.
Sure.
I think after that advice, Vogel's going to call you, Joey, and ask if you'll be an assistant coach.
We'll see if I got the time. Well, until then, you can find us. We are on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. You can find us on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form that you can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We have t-shirts for sale.
we've not been playing well in the Hickory jerseys, so I think probably next year we need to change our jerseys to the Christmas Addicts Tigers.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that's going to help. So just shout out to Pacer Brass. I need the Christmas Addict Tigers jerseys is celebrating their state championships. And for our once and always coach, Bobby Sick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party is over.
Yes, thank you for making sure he did that into the mic.
Yeah, yeah. You should point that when he's like talking, but when he's going to sing, point the other way. Well,
like, he's unpredictable. His movements, who knows where he's going?
He's like a trapped bear or something. Don't know exactly what he's going to do.
Napa know-how. The Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolor paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how.
I've switched a lot of things in my life, but it's never worked out. I switched to being a vegetarian, but ate more bacon than ever. Every time I switch lines at the grocery store, I never pick the fast one. But one thing that totally worked out is I switched to Metro PCS and got a free Samsung Galaxy.
Make the right switch too. Move to Metro PCS and get a free Samsung Galaxy J7 with a huge 5.5-inch screen. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plus sales tax. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details, terms, and conditions.